Hey everybody, Rob here, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably love TV. How about free TV? That's right, you heard me. You can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TV, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream and watch 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand completely for free. Pluto TV never asks for your credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy and legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. What are you waiting for? Don't pay for TV again and start downloading Pluto TV. Big Brother time, do you hear that sound? It's Eric Stein about to break things down. Watching the show for us 3 times a week. It's giving truth on knowledge and beat. Watch your mouth, the sign knows when your game's heading south. He's got the gift of gab and knows what to say. When you are ready, Rob, yeah, take it away. Summer of Stein, week number 5. Rob Sisson here with a man who is deeply in mourning, Eric Stein.
It was too heavy.
It was heavy.
It was too heavy.
Eric was working on assembling a puzzle made of paper. Was that a loose leaf?
Rob, you look positively exorbitant tonight.
Yes,
absolutely,
thank you.
Amicable.
Yes.
It was a loose leaf puzzle, three piece.
Yes. Three rings.
I couldn't figure out up, down, left, right, inside, out. It was just too tricky for me.
Yes. That's the code for Punch Out, right?
Yes. Yes. Up, up, down, down, left,
yes,
right.
B-A, yes. B-A. That would have also unlocked the bonus life on Big Brother 20. Eric, with a heavy heart, we come to you guys in week number 5 as we saw the unthinkable happen this Thursday night.
I think I've remained in surprisingly good spirits so far this summer, but that has changed. First of all, for lunch, I accidentally dipped my nectarine in some barbecue sauce. And guess what? That wasn't great. And second of all, we lost Caitlin Herman from our lives. Couldn't they have just gotten her to say her ABCs, count to 10, Tony Robbins trivia, fall in love with someone who's not her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Anything that she could do in 2.5 minutes time. I know this has been covered ad nauseum, but for the love of God, you know they had at least 10 interns do this in under 45 seconds.
Yeah.
You know that right prior to the show, it was going to be maybe a minute, 2 minutes they gave her. And right beforehand, they said, you know what? Let's make it 2:30. We'll squeeze out a commercial break. We don't need this ad revenue. We need Caitlin on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it easier and easier. It was color coded. There was her clothes were drawn on the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Left hoodie, right hoodie. The hoodie even spilled into the leg pieces. I mean, all this lady needed to do was slide the head, slide left body, slide right body.
Yeah.
You didn't need to mush them all together. And yet, somehow, the unthinkable has happened. The G. Otis, the Devin of all Devins, has come and gone as a pre-jury boot. I didn't think production could even let this happen. Production, mere seconds before the puzzle, did not think they could let this happen. They did not let it happen. But the greater good has been served, and we've lost our life coach, Rob, and
yeah.
I am not feeling good.
Yeah, it was really so upsetting, the whole thing, that we thought, okay, I never started to worry because I said, okay, well, I mean, not since the Mets were up with 7.5 games on the Phillies with 17 to play in 2007 have I thought that there would be a possibility of a collapse like this.
I don't think I've been this nervous since I received a call from Big Brother casting and started dry heaving taco meat onto my paper plate as my brother stood by I've never felt such a alive, you know, as a man who has watched so much reality TV. I didn't think it could move me like this anymore. And the first, you know, 30 to 60 seconds, I'm going, oh, okay, this is fun. But you know, what's there really to see here? You know, it's all going to work out in the end. But it didn't work out. It didn't work out. And now I feel the only thing I feel good about is that you are ahead in the TMZ draft. So it looks like I will be receiving life coaching from Caitlin. And now I have something that I need to hash out because I'm working through all the feels about this and I've yet to recover. I would have thought
by the time loser has to get life coached by Caitlin.
Probably. I don't think that's the winning prize.
but you're paying for it out of your pocket?
Yes. Okay. So you are both being subjected to it and taking the financial burden.
Yes,
of
I'm
it.
Not paying for your life coaching.
No.
Now, Eric, there was a good reason, it turns out, why this did not work out for Caitlin. And she explains what went wrong on the Off the Block Facebook show hosted by Ross Matthews and Marissa Jarrett Winoker when they asked her what happened with the puzzle.
There was a moment where I realized this isn't for you. Like, you're a piece of you, like this puzzle of me, like a piece of it was missing, like inside the game, metaphorically. Right. And like, I wasn't, like, I can't be me there. And it was really like a very weird moment because I'm looking at this puzzle, I see. Like, it's not coming together. And I have a moment where I could actually exhale because I'm like, it's not supposed to.
Yeah, Eric, a piece was missing of the puzzle. That's why she couldn't do it.
I think she may have plagiarized this from one of Deepak's TED Talks that she attended. I feel like I've heard this before. But yeah, she does seem to have quite a convenient response and reason for everything. It's part of the frustration surrounding Caitlin is you can do no wrong if everything's mm-hmm. intended by the universe. But that does make a lot of sense. I don't know why I didn't think about that earlier. You know, she must have just, you know, needed someone outside, needed her. You. Most likely.
Yes, I do need her. We have not been able to make contact yet. I will ask my spirit guides to.
Have you gone through Grandpa Lou? Possibly.
No. Like send a message via Grandpa Lou.
Well, I am here in New York City, so there are a lot of street pigeons. So I could ask around and see if anyone has his contact info.
If anybody knows Lou. Yeah, that would be quite ideal if you would be able to work on that. So. I can't believe it. Eric, do you blame production that they let it come down to? I mean, was this not Russian roulette?
I'm trying to think what realistically they could have done to pass this off as needing to play in. I mean, I'm sure everyone in America rolled their eyes when they saw the grand unveiling of what this puzzle would be.
And the time.
Right. Come on, guys. Let's at least pretend. Pretend that this is something that she might conceivably fail. Never did it really, I'm sure, cross production's mind, my mind, anybody's mind, that she'd actually fail it. I mean, talk about a self-sabotage of a whole other level. And let's face it, Rob, as neurotic New York characters as we are, we've done some self-sabotages in our day, mm-hmm. professionally, personally. I mean, I could take any gimme situation and ruin it, but... I feel really, I spent some time with my niece and nephew yesterday, and there was no question whether or not they could solve this puzzle. I mean, there's really, it wasn't so much a puzzle as just, I don't know, like a building blocks. The puzzle came pre-solved. I know we've covered this to death, but I have not had the chance to express it yet. I've never seen, she had the entire commercial break to study a pre-solved puzzle that was of her own face. So even if there was part of her life puzzle missing, she must have recognized something in the image that was before her. Unless she's like, you know, this is like a butterfly coming out of their cocoon situation.
Yeah, and butterfly of death.
She didn't even recognize the image that she was looking at anymore after she has grown so much during her time in the Big Brother house. I mean... they may as well just leave Caitlin at CBS Radford Studios. This woman is going to be hosting a competition in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She is going to be on Chop Bonk Spank season 2. Mm-hmm. She is going to be on TKO, and she is most certainly going to be on Big Brother 21. So they may as well just, you know, keep her fresh and ready to roll.
Yeah. So they should just set up an apartment there for her, you're saying.
Yeah, they could possibly film it as one of their upcoming sitcom reboots.
On CBS All Access, That's So Caitlyn, for real. Well, we're doing it. Put this on. I mean, it would do better than Big Brother OTT.
It's her, Meta World Peace, and Morgan Willett living together.
Yeah, we'll table that. Table that. We'll come back to that later on in the show. This is an email that we got from one of our listeners, Jenna Ray, who said, so we all sat shocked in horror as we saw Caitlyn unable to complete the easiest puzzle in reality TV history. Can you two go through the thought process of production before, during, and after Caitlyn's epic fail?
I think we can. And thank you for that question, Jenna. You look like a crisp apple on the first day of autumn tonight.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
We had another listener who had requested that we role play as Rich Meehan and Allison Grodner also during.
All right. Well, let's take this through some of the steps of grieving that they might have gone through. Let's start with where they were at the production meeting, maybe in the hours leading up to this. Like, okay. Listen, Allison, how stupid do you think our viewers actually are? How far can we go and claim that this is actually a puzzle and they'll buy that there's a chance she might fail this? You know what, guys? You know what, production crew? Let's take that 9-piece puzzle. Let's go back and resaw that. Resaw that. Let's make it a few less pieces. Let's make it of her. Let's just take out any element of doubt here. All right, mm-hmm. Allison, we got this. This is going to be great. All right. Fast forward to... She gets evicted. She's crying, acting surprised as if she didn't know that Sam had told her this 3 days earlier that she was going to have this chance.
Drop down to her knees. And...
All right. So where's Allison feeling at that moment in time? Oh,
right.
My
like,
God.
We got this.
What a beautiful moment. Perfect drama. This is the CBS soap opera primetime gold we're looking for, right? Then we come back from the commercial break. Caitlin's looking a little rattled, but she is an adult. She does run her own business. I'm sure we extended this by 90 additional seconds. I'm sure she has this, right? And then will you act out for me the change in the facial expression waiting in the wings on the set as we hit, all right, 15 seconds into the puzzle. Where's Allison at that
good.
Point?
I mean, she disassembles it. She gets it through the little doggy door very quickly. I mean, she is there with the pieces with 2 minutes to go. And I think that, everybody's looking around like,
yeah, Rich takes off his headset, whispers, oh, what a show woman. She's mm-hmm. really yeah. milking this for all it's worth. Really going to play it out just as we spoke about earlier today. This is beautiful, beautiful. Okay, now we're about... a minute in, not even at the halfway mark yet. She has all her pieces transported. She's realized maybe I should lay these pieces down so I could see the images I'm working with. She does seem a little twisted and turned. She's flipping pieces that probably don't need to be flipped.
Yeah, she starts off, she puts the two legs on the table and as you would, but she's not able to get them to work. But eventually she gets stuff on the floor and you feel like, okay, well, maybe if she has the leverage now on the floor. And she's still 90 seconds, closing in on a minute. You still feel like there's enough time that she can get this together.
Right. And like you have like the challenge producer who's in the corner of the room. He's like, remember, Caitlyn. L for left. That's the left leg. Okay, girl, you got this. Keep going. You got this.
Right. And also, she has talked about how she has spirit guides constantly also talking to her. Various spirits as well to give her guidance.
Right. She had Grandpa Lou. She had Tyler's father on his birthday.
No,
Rockstar's daughter's birthday.
Yes.
Everyone was really guiding her.
Never before has anybody been so tapped in
Yes, her great personal mentors, much as you've been mentored by Howard Stern, for example, mm-hmm. right under his wing. You once upon a time may have listened to Howard Stern, right? And just like she has been mentored by Tony Robbins.
So, right.
Right. She had a lot of great voices leading her to the promised land here. And yeah, I found it very peculiar, not to interrupt our train of thought, that in last night's episode, they did not go back to show us the living room perspective on this chain of events. Mm-hmm. How did we not see people's facial expressions as they were watching her? How did we not see the diary room sessions about people's genuine reactions laughing in the face of her as she's doing this? I found that to be a very suspect omission. So it's like, what, they reached their limit. They could pile on no more to this poor woman for fear that she would have a mental breakdown. Is that what was going on here?
Yeah. Why do you think that was, Eric? Do you feel like that the show wants to maintain that the challenge was difficult? Or
I think that must be it. It must be. They once this unfolded in this way, we were just sort of going to enact and try and prove out the concept that, you know, things were destined in this way. And it was a legitimate competition, most certainly.
It's probably hard for the show to highlight. Oh, my God. That was the easiest puzzle there ever has been. What a gimme layup Big Brother gave Caitlin. And she still couldn't do it.
It feels like it would have been a chance for some zingers in the diary room, though. Yeah. Like, could have let a couple of breakout characters shine with their genuine reactions to what was going on. I thought it was pretty nice they gave Tyler the line that she was her maybe 9th or 10th best alliance member. Mm-hmm. All right. But then as this is unfolding, okay, I still feel very few pieces. It is a picture of her. So probably about a minute 45 in, they're still thinking, all right, our girl's got this, right? Right, right. When does sheer panic set in?
I think at the point that she goes into the fetal position up against the the acrylic wall and says, I can't do this, and starts crying. With like 30 seconds left.
I swear, though, what was the last moment in Big Brother or reality TV that your heart was racing like this, that you were actually on the edge of your couch? I was dumbfounded, slack-jawed at what I was witnessing. So I cannot even imagine what is going on. I think up until 10, 15 seconds left, you're still thinking to yourself, come on. She has to solve this, right? Like, there's no conceivable way is that, you know, this is for show or it's all going to whatever. I mean, there was also not really any other way that it could possibly go. So I'm not really sure what she was twisting and turning and pivoting. The pieces, mm-hmm. you know, locked into one another.
She wasn't aware of that. She wasn't aware that there was like track to slide the pieces in. I think she thought that she could like snap, even though she disassembled said puzzle.
Right, exactly.
No,
so whether or not she was not aware of it, you know, I would think she'd be, oh boy.
Yeah, remember when you took it apart? Remember how you slid the pieces out? You got to slide them back in.
I mean, I was 100% on board with you, with Taryn in this, that this was designed to be a token gesture towards, a nod towards she may or may not come back into the house. We know there's a production schedule to these shows. So now someone has to come back at some point.
Right.
And it may as well be her. They don't, you know, they don't need Angela returning on an endurance comp later in the season. You know, this was their basically dream scenario. They laid it out so that Sam, who is the most popular person week one, would have a chance to come back. She ultimately didn't need it. And what's the best default option they could get? Caitlin coming back. Nope.
No.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah. Why did they even need a competition for the bonus life, Eric?
Well, I suppose they really didn't, but they sort of backed themselves into the corner with the chance. I don't think the collective house that had just voted her out, you know, almost unanimously would vote her back into the house. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I do believe she could have just returned, but it was their own language that did them in. And I think that by default, the fact that the person who would be receiving that was automatically popular by America's voting standards should have been reason enough. They should not have made it a chance. We should have just been, instead of a 1 in 4 shot of coming into the game, you're a pre-juror who's coming back into the game. Good for you. And if you don't use it by the time jury hits, it's null and void. The end.
Okay. Live and light. Love and light. Yeah. Eric, this is a great question from one of our listeners. Lewis emailed in to say, Rob and Eric, if you had $100 and again, if you had $100 and they gave Caitlin the same exact puzzle right now and gave her another 2 minutes and 30 seconds, would you bet on or against her to complete the puzzle? So same puzzle. She's done it once. 2 minutes and 30 seconds back on the clock. Can she do it?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the fact that you think I have $100.
Yes. Well, it was if.
Yes. But if I'm trying to put myself in those shoes, imagine what it would feel like to be rolling in that kind of money. I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, and I'm going to set you up to take the opposing stance here. I'm going to have to guess she would solve it in 10 seconds or less.
Oh, wow. That quickly.
There's no possible way that a functional human being could do this once, let alone twice, and fail it that many times. I just cannot possibly believe that or get on board with that as a possible concept. It's just too outrageous.
I think it would be close. I think she would struggle. I think that it would not be a gimme the second time. You see, you're falling into the same trap, Eric. Fool me once, shame on you.
I'm thinking it's possible that now that she's out of the house, she's possibly learned the information that is completing the puzzle of her soul. Mm. And she possibly gotten to speak with some of her mentors and possibly, you know, is feeling more whole again now that she's out of the house. So I'm thinking that, yes, her completed soul would lead to a completed puzzle, possibly. Yes.
So you think all along Caitlin has just been looking for some part that could fill in whatever was missing inside of her. She had been in search of that part, Eric.
Yes, and I think she was looking to
fill all over the place.
She was looking to fill up her insides.
A void.
Yes, a hole within her, perhaps. With anything, any person, place, or thing, big or large, that she could possibly fill herself
to feel
completed.
Yes.
Whatever that be, maybe.
Yes. Okay. Eric, you talked about the different voices that she is in communication with in the interview that they did not have time for on Big Brother proper on Thursday night. It needed to be filmed after the show. Caitlin would go on to have a conversation with Julie Chen about this communication that she had had with Tyler's dad, who has passed away.
Don't forget that.
Don't judge him on the game move he's about to make.
He better win.
Still rooting for him.
Oh my God, I loved today's his dad's birthday.
I know, he wished him a happy birthday in diary room, which is very beautiful.
And I've been with his dad the whole time.
Well, Caitlin, in the event that you were the one evicted...
Now, Eric, amazingly, this was not the most awkward conversation that Julie Chen had this past week, which is amazing.
It's like, listen, Caitlin, I've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, well, this is Thursday. Thursday.
All right. Yeah. So, yes, I love the just the calculated pause before responding.
Yeah, let's count how many seconds was that after
approximately the number of seconds they thought it would take her to solve the puzzle.
Yeah,
he wished him a happy birthday in diary room, which is very beautiful.
And I've been with his dad the whole time.
Well, Caitlin, in the event that you were the one evicted.
At least a full three Mississippi.
Yep.
There you go.
And about a month ago, she gave an interview about how she was shocked that she wasn't nominated for an Emmy or some more prestigious awards for her interview with Aaron a few summers back. So maybe she was once again going for the dramatic tension needed to re-up her candidacy for future hosting awards. Yeah.
The best part of this clip was that Julie does not even acknowledge it, just goes directly into a completely different topic after Caitlin mentions that she's been talking with Tyler's dad.
We wish him a happy birthday in diary room, which is very beautiful.
I've been with his dad the whole time.
Well, Caitlin, in the event that you were the one who...
Also, I noticed by the time that she was talking with the BB celeb, after show, she was starting to come to grips a little bit with the fact that maybe, just maybe, they did not have her best interests at heart. Tyler and Fessy so far. Like, it was like the light bulb was starting to go off, but she wasn't quite there yet.
Flickering.
You know, right. So she's like, well, you know, my guys had to do what they had to do. Mm-hmm. It does seem as if there was some things we'll have to chat about afterwards, but these are my best friends and mentors for life.
You know,
but you could see it was like starting to
just
come
a game.
Right.
Well, we loved Caitlin. It was the best 29 days of my entire life that she was on this show. And so we have a question here that was tweeted to us. Let's go to this is a question from Kirsten McInnes, who wants to know, can Eric just give Caitlin the real eulogy she deserves? And before we eulogize the gameplay and the game and the experience of Caitlin, I'd like to set this up with a musical tribute. This is from Caitlin's 2012 spring a cappella concert back in her Plainview days. So let me just set the tone with some of Caitlin's a cappella group.
I heard there was a secret chord that's even played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? Goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major this.
Hallelujah. The puzzle screwed ya.
You may not know this, Rob, but Hallelujah is prolifically featured in the OC. And I have not been this upset since dear friend of the podcast, Jordan Parhar, miscalculated his votes on Big Brother Canada. And I feel as if I haven't felt such pain since that day. This is like when Marissa on the OC died in a fiery crash and left the Big Brother sphere and left our hearts forever. I mean, Caitlin, what's there to be said that hasn't been said before? You remind me distinctly of my first four long-term girlfriends. You brought both light and love and also fear and anxiety into our lives. So much drama and so much happiness. You were so powerful in that tiny little body of yours. You brought the BDE like no house guest ever before. It was as if Devin, bro, was reincarnated as a pre-jury boot and came to life in your bite-sized body. You are a Big Brother legend, truly. Probable to follow in the footsteps of Jose pitching the new game show gag in future years to both Rob as a podcast and CBS Studios.
You should be so lucky.
I look forward greatly to seeing you for 3 weeks next summer because you are everything that you could ever hope for in a returnee, because you will never, ever, ever command anyone's respect or control game. and you will just simply crash and burn like some of the greats, the great Davon Rogers, perhaps. Yes. You will return with such fury and such drama as she did merely two summers ago.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You see, I did not know that she was such an angelic vocalist.
Yes.
We need to slot her into our We Are the World style charity solo ASAP. She is now the featured vocalist in that number.
Yes, yes. She can, maybe she can perform the upcoming recap of the recap summer concert.
You know, I actually wanted to let you know that I saw later this summer about two blocks away from the South Street Seaport, Ziggy Marley is performing. So there may be opportunities.
All right. Well, we should only hope so. But beautiful voice for Caitlin. It only expands the realm of possibilities of future reality shows we could see her on.
I would just say we should probably put it up on BroFundMe right now and start crowdfunding the concert. I think this is the moment, just like Swaggy selling his T-shirts. When yes. can we fundraise any better than this week? So I don't think we should hesitate. We should hit up the good people at BroFundMe and see what we could do with them in conjunction to get this to become a reality.
Okay. Let's take another question from one of our listeners. And this one comes to us from the great Ari Ferrari, who says, if Caitlin not completing the puzzle was to cement her eviction and that was for the greater good, can you guys discuss the potential doomsday scenarios that would have happened if Caitlin had returned to the game? So if this was for the greater good, Eric, what might have happened to us if Caitlin did return to the Big Brother house?
Well, first of all, thank you, Ari, for that. You positively look like a French kiss in the rain tonight. So you look just magnificent. But anyway, I would imagine frogs falling from the sky. Or wait for it. An even better plague upon the BB house. The return of Paul, Elena, and Raven falling from the sky.
So you feel basically
would unleash plagues upon the house.
Yeah, you feel like that somehow if Caitlin returned, then there would also be Paul and Elena and Raven would also come into the house also?
I think it's distinctly possible. They would probably replace our three favorite house guests this summer, whoever that may be, and unleash them back into the house. It would be the return of the great takeover twist of about four or five seasons ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Get ready for a takeover. Oh! Oh!
I would sign on for a Caitlin takeover right about now, though.
Even if she came with her friends from last season.
Guys, guess what? It's time for a takeover. Love and light.
The fourth, the fifth, the minor falls, and the major lift. All right. She should host. I mean, honestly, they should go all in on the Summer of Caitlin 2018. It is time for Caitlin to host. I mean, would you object if Caitlin hosted every single remaining competition of the entire summer?
I'm okay with Caitlin hosting Big Brother.
Yeah, that would be perfectly
nice. Non-zero possibility.
Yeah, to be honest, we might be about a week away from that.
So that is, maybe that's the greater good. That's maybe she was, you know, she is very wise to the ways of the world. Maybe she knew that there was going to be some epic disturbance, some vibrational shift
happening
in the universe.
If she solved the puzzle, what if one giant mosquito was leashed upon the Big Brother house?
Oh, no.
Which would change
to beat the ass of all the contestants?
Yes, the greater relationship that all of the past house guests have presently with mosquitoes.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
Wow. Eric, we have a voicemail question from one of our listeners. This is from Owen, who wants to talk about this Thursday's huge shock.
Hey, Rob and Eric. It's Owen from Connecticut here. I'm just really excited to send you guys a voicemail. I heard it's really easy. It's not too hard. And I've got plenty of time to do it. I got like 15 seconds left. And I'm just really excited to...
Oh, and you blew it.
Ugh.
You blew it.
Oof. Oh, man. Oof. By the way, I received a scathing reaction to last week's podcast.
Oh, no.
Requesting that I say the word oof less. So I vowed to work oof into this week's podcast at least 17 times.
Where'd you get that type of feedback?
It came to me direct on Twitter, to which I was DM? Genuinely curious.
Somebody slid into your DMs like Bailey?
Yes, and I was curious, so I wrote back. What inspired you to tweet this evening?
Oh, no, It was a mention.
I said, what compelled you to share this thought with me? But I got no response. So oof to that is what I have to say. But nonetheless, that was rough. I was hoping to answer that voicemail question and did not get it in under the wire. I'm sorry. Maybe try again next summer. Sorry, my friend.
This is an email we got from one of our listeners, Greg, who says, now that Caitlin's out of the house, where does she rank on the list of all-time worst Big Brother players? Is she in the same category as LaJuan? Now, Eric, do you think that Caitlin is in the conversation for the worst Big Brother player of all time?
Not even close. Not even close to the worst Big Brother player this season. In fact, I would actually argue she could be in still the top 50% when all is said and done.
Of all time or this season?
Of all time, both. For sure. Yeah, both.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, she flipped a vote in her own, well, Tyler's favor in week one.
She was impactful.
A relatively strong player. Yeah, she actually had... She won an HOH. That's right. She had some control over what happened for the time she was there. And I saw some people asking, you know, if she had cemented herself as a Big Brother legend. And I thought about it. My first blush reaction was, yes, she has. She's going to be memorable. And when you look back on this season, this has been a great season so far. But there are not a lot of breakout popular characters or amazing players. And Caitlin will be one of the top three players that you remember from this season when you look back on the season. Mm-hmm. But do you look back upon Jose and Devin and LaJuan and Mike Dutz as all-time legends of Big Brother? I mean, now, they are great for when they are there. But it's a long summer. People move on from these people very quickly.
With all due respect to LaJuan, I would not put him in the same category as Caitlin in that he had one epic moment of disastrous thinking. But overall, for however the 45, 50 days that LaJuan was in the Big Brother 13 house, he was not, with all due respect, again, the nonstop creator of excitement on the show. Fun character.
So if you had to rank her in pre-jury boots on a scale of Jace Agaoli to Jace Wiry.
Yeah.
Where does she rank on that scale?
I think she might be on my list of, certainly top five pre-jury Big Brother boots of all time.
Whoa. All right.
In terms of players of the game, but in terms of creators of excitement.
I think that may be fair. I think basically she has taken the Davon slot, basically, is where we are. People who burn bright, but burn out fast in the game. And you know what? That is a great slot. You can only hope that you have people like that every single summer. Mm-hmm. And I think we actually really had two of them this summer in Swaggy and Caitlin. We can only hope, though, that without the bright, shining stars that they are, that the summer can continue the burn bright after their departure.
To me, I feel like that Swaggy was all unrealized potential, where that first night he was great on the first episode, but then once he got into the showmance with Bailey, he was only on the show for 2 weeks, and there was probably like a stretch of like two or three episodes where you barely saw him, where he was...
Yeah, I guess. A bit of a Cappy-like legacy, though, now.
Yes.
You know, where people are playing in his stead.
Yes.
And no matter what they say, and no matter how many times they say they've gotten over it.
That's what the C stands for, I think.
Yes, they have not gotten over it. Yes, Swaggy Cappy. Exactly. Turn the lights off, bitches. It's time for bed.
11 o'clock. Time for bed, everybody. Yeah. So, yes, his memory lives on, but I don't know if he himself was super impactful. It sort of came out of nowhere where Caitlin made the move against him. So,
is there any possibility that Tyler, Brett, and Fessy, as Caitlin's boys, realign and rename themselves and are a final three, as driven by the energy undoubtedly sending them from outside of the house?
I think they've all publicly disavowed her.
All right. Fair enough. It's funny because privately, I bet she has been very much avowed by at least half of the last 5 years of male cast members.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine the letters of consoling she's received from Corey Brooks, perhaps Alec Beale, Cameron Hurd. Yes. I'm sure she is receiving lots of words of encouragement. You have a friend
sliding into DMs, as Bailey did.
Summer of Steve. Oh, no, he's a married man.
Happily married.
I take that back. I'm sorry, Steve. Maybe Winston even. Yeah. You never know. There's a lot of time outside the house.
Eric, the question of who is the worst Big Brother player of all time was addressed by a prolific YouTuber named Peridium. Makes a lot of Big Brother and YouTube or Big Brother and Survivor videos that he tried to come up with the worst Big Brother player of all time. He came up with Jacob from Big Brother 9. That was where he came down.
Were there any other candidates in the mix?
I think the usual suspects, but he said being the first boot of Big Brother 9 made him and he goes on in detail.
One could argue that Neil from Big Brother 9, although he may have gotten out while the getting was good, so he may have actually been the smartest player of Big Brother 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think in order to be the worst Big Brother player of all time, you have to have no redeeming characteristics whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You need to off-putting, bad strategically, flop at the challenges, and go home right away. So, I mean, when some of people who come up in this conversation say a Luan, for example, Luan is nowhere near the worst Big Brother player of all time. He was extremely well-positioned socially, beloved by everyone in the house, and with just one possible course correction, he could have been great. Jacob, hard to see a path for where he would have gone from there, you know? Yeah. But, I mean, I'd have to rack my brain. I can come back next week with a list. But I believe there are probably substantially worse players than Jacob was.
Okay. All right. Eric, let's start to look ahead now. The game and us, we must move on and continue talking about the rest of the season, even without Caitlin. And so we need to start to talk about the reign of Bailey as the new HOH. And we'll call this a new segment, which I would like to refer to as Baywatch. Yes. All right. Baywatch is here.
Like a young David Hasselhoff taking over HOH, which, let's be realistic.
David versus Goliath.
We could easily be seeing that next winter on Celebrity Big Brother 2.
Yes. Well, do you remember when Hasselhoff came into the Big Brother 13 house?
I think I blocked that out of my memory.
Yeah, he came in. There was like a show that was like some sort of a celebrity, like CBS did like a show that was like celebrities like working in like Trader Joe's. And then it's like, hey, aren't you David Hasselhoff?
It's like piggybacking off of Undercover Boss or something
like that. Or I Get That All the Time, I think was like the name of the show.
It was supposed to be people that look like them or something like that, right? It was like wannabe David Hasselhoff worked in Trader Joe's or something.
Right. And like, are you David Hasselhoff? All right, Baywatch. Eric, what has been your takeaways from the Bailey reign as HOH?
Not good.
Not good.
You know, loose lips sink ships. It's very bad. Very, very,
do we
very
need a
bad.
Lifeguard?
What is she really does? She is drowning fast up in the HOH room.
Yeah, Tyler's a lifeguard.
I will say this for any sort of contentiousness we've ever had through the years. My season actually had one of the great HOH reigns of all time, and it came from our later winner, Dick. And Dick gave up his HOH room to three or four of the girls and let them sleep up there for the entire week, ceded the rights to his snacks, to his private bathroom, to his bed, and gave them all free reign of the room. And he continued to sleep down in the bedroom with Kale and Jen so he could stop them from discussing strategy against them, mm-hmm. antagonize them. And he did not for one second let it go to his head. He, in fact, used it as a strategic way to build relationships with some people and continue to get under other people's skin. But this season, we have the exact opposite epidemic. Where it seems as if Tyler to Caitlin to Scotty to Sam to Bailey, they are trying to one up who can be the biggest egomaniac lunatic in their age.
Tyler, I think, was probably was the least guilty of that. I think that he let everybody use the HOH room. He was HOH for 3 weeks. Had any of these other people become HOH for like a 3 week stint, that it would have completely destroyed any other player in the game.
Well, Caitlin took hers to represent all young women nationwide. Mm-hmm. Sam
stood in her
went
truth.
On a strict banning of any snack eating whatsoever and empowered females by nominating three of them. Mm-hmm. And now we have Bailey, who has threatened physical harm upon at least half of the house guests. She has also asked for sworn loyalty, but has not specified what that loyalty must look like.
Loyalty oaths.
So it's very vague loyalty that she is looking for. And she has revealed all of her secrets, as I say. And she has acquired none. None in exchange.
No secrets. Yes.
No secrets in exchange. So this is a whole new style of HOH play. Never before seen. One in which you give up everything and gain nothing during your HOH week. And then get out someone who was conceivably plainly no threat to you. Whoever she gets out this week. People were not coming for Bailey. So I'm not really sure what she was hoping to get out of this week. But Baywatch is looking like she is drowning fast.
Baywatch Nights?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like this is doing as well as Baywatch the movie did.
Okay, so sad news for Bailey. We'll see if she can bounce back.
Oh, she cannot.
We also got to see last night on the show. We've been talking a lot about what's going on with Fessy and JC on the show, and we were treated to a sitcom parody, "The Tall and Short of It," starring Fessy and JC. Eric, what did you make of the Big Brother sitcom, "The Tall and Short of It"?
I remind me a little bit of the Too Many Cooks phenomenon from a couple of years back. I did like it in general spirit, but I do feel, much as you covered last night, that they didn't really go anywhere with it. They should have saved some of their banter, for this. And instead, they just sort of had B-roll of them just literally standing next to each other.
It was weird. They didn't really work very hard. They could have brought James Maslow in to write the theme song to it. This was the theme song. Like, you need a great theme song to "The Tall and Short of It." And this is the theme song to "The Tall and Short of It." And I'm pretty sure they use this exact music cue already in the house guest dating profile.
For sure. They could have at least drummed up some 15-second lyrics or something like that.
Yeah.
I did try and make this segment better for them. So I did dream up what a possible episode of "The Tall and Short of It" might
possibly
look like. Right. So here's what I came up with. All right. Fessy, being the big, lovable galoot that he is, he chases a cat up a tree, but he can't figure out how to get down, and he's too scared, so he gets stuck in the tree. So he calls his buddy, JC, to help get him out of the tree, but But JC is busy at work. He's go-go dancing at the time.
Yes.
So a furious JC is just indignant about this. And S, why can't Scotty help you? Scotty doesn't know that Fessy is stuck up in the tree.
He doesn't know?
Incredulous, JC has to leave work to rescue Fessy. But wouldn't you know it, JC was dancing in a provocative firefighter outfit at the club that night. So he arrives as a firefighter to rescue Fessy out of the tree.
Yeah, it's a great job. I had been sent. I didn't pull it for the show, but I was that there is one of the stars of RuPaul's Drag Race has a new music video out, and JC appears in this music video. In true, he's like in a limo with a bunch of people, and he is his hands are everywhere.
If I could just star in the tall and the short of it, and then in the music video, I'd get everyone to trust me.
Here's my pitch for an episode of The Tall and Short of It. So, okay, JC and Fessy, they live together, and it's the end of the month, and JC has given the rent money to Fessy, but then Fessy took the money from the rent and then ended up losing it all in some get-rich-quick app development scheme, and then he has to go back and tell JC that he lost all of their rent money.
I feel like that actually happened on the short-lived Scott Long and Rhino streaming roommate television show.
Yeah. Actually, we have a clip from that show that we could play right now.
You're stupid. You're dumb.
Yeah.
I do see that as possible. I think it's all the classic sitcom hijinks. But as I'm sure it did you, it did get me thinking as to who else from the Big Brother 20 cast might possibly deserve a sitcom, right? Because, well, I mean,
you and I are on the same page. And I think that that is actually the lines that they are thinking over at CBS, because I've been, you know, I watch a ton of CBS covering all these shows. And so I watch a lot of promos. And so this is actually a promo for one of the upcoming CBS shows. This is from a new show called Happy Together. And this is actually a promo that has been running for this new show. Listen to this.
When you're an accountant to the stars, nothing rocks your life like living with a rock star.
Real cute. I can't believe on my daughter's birthday. You are disgusting.
Damon Wayans Jr. stars in Happy Together, CBS Mondays this fall.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans Jr. and Angie Rockstar together at last.
Real cute.
What happens when every single day is your daughter's birthday? The day before.
So, yeah, look for that. Happy Together. Eric, do you have any other ideas for CBS sitcoms, including the Big Brother 20 cast?
It's funny you should mention that, because I actually have three.
Yes.
I wrote three log lines, and I want you to be the CBS network executive, and I want you to greenlight one of the following three series for me.
Okay. I'm on my best behavior. Okay.
Okay. First one, Wave Days. Days is spelled with a Z. Okay. Lifeguard Tyler Crispin, a.k.a. Crispy to his friends, spends his days with a Z getting tanned and toned at BB Beach. Since his last name is Crispin and his skin is overly tan, his friends call him Crispy. He's joined by his best beach bros for life, Winston Churchill and JC from the Bible, and they're living their best lives 24/7, 365, flirting with the girls of summer, Angela and Rachel, and playing chop bonk spank with each other all the live long day. That's show number one. Yes. If you see that as a possible something in the vein, I know it's for CBS, but a TMBC show, something that probably would have ran alongside of California Dreams and Saved by the Bell.
What do we call that? Crispy Days?
That's a wave days wave featuring day. Crispy. Wave Days with a Z. Yes. Next up, we have Crazy Kate's, like Crazy Eights. All right.
This is actually
an unscripted show.
Yes.
This is Katie Holmes.
Oh.
Meets Caitlin Herman deep undercover in Tom Cruise's Scientology bunker, where they find Kate Upton, Kate Beckinsale, and Kate Hudson being held against their will.
Mm.
But it's all for the greater good because they spend the rest of their imprisoned days trying to solve the 6 or 8 piece puzzle that we call life.
Yeah, I like this. I like anything with Caitlin. So this is my favorite so far.
Okay. And lastly, this is a sitcom. This is Bay, Hay, Bay and Jay.
And Bay, this is Hay, Bay and
Bay
Jay.
And
okay.
Jay.
Yes. Okay.
This is after winning an upcoming Power of Veto competition, Bailey and Haley get to join Beyonce and Jay-Z on their world tour.
Wow.
Bay, Hay, Bay and Jay. And they don't have to pay to find their way to make it the best day possible. But that is until CBS sitcom star Angie Rockstar joins the tour mm-hmm. off the success of her hit single Micropenis. And then they all drop LSD. And then they reach out to Destiny's Child to form an all-women's alliance to vote Jay-Z off the tour.
Wow.
This one gets a little convoluted, yeah.
So they're going to kick Jay-Z off the show.
Well, that's the plot. And each week they
Wait, Jay-Z or JC?
It is Jay-Z as portrayed by JC.
Okay.
Jace. yes, Bailey and Haley are themselves on this show.
Yes.
Yes. And then we have Beyonce. She's in an overall deal, so she'll be appearing as well. And then JC Chassé as Jay-Z.
Mm.
Yes. And so this is one is a little true to life.
Yeah.
They are on tour currently. They will win this in a future Power of Veto. But things go off the rails. And then each episode is them devising a plot to try and vote Jay-Z off the show, and they fail.
Yeah. Well, single ladies, I like it. I think if you can get Beyonce on the show, I think that you got to go with that. I think that that is far and away a lot of star power there.
Yes. And there will also be a cameo from Michelle Williams of Dawson's Creek and Brokeback Mountain fame portraying Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Yes. It's very the whole thing is very magical.
Yeah. It tracks.
So you're going to. So am I hearing this correctly? You are going the green light. Bay, Hay, Bay and Jay
yes.
over Crazy Eights and Wave Days with Crispy.
If I have to pick one, if I have to pick the it's two, I'd go with the Kate Show and number three. I just don't know if we need a surfer show.
Well, whatever it is, we'll pair it with the Tall and Short of It. And this is going to be the best sitcom block they've had since The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on with the sitcoms over at CBS. And they're really, really delving deep into all of the CBS reality. And the reality franchises are doing great. So I think they're trying to marry the best of both worlds. This is another upcoming show that I was actually a little surprised that CBS went back to the reality well here. This is for a new show coming to CBS this fall. This is a promo for the show called The Neighborhood.
Have you met the new neighbors?
It is good to hear another successful black family moving into that nice house.
Hey there.
Hello.
Dave Johnson.
Hang around.
Yeah. Yeah, weird show. Weird show
wow,
that Dave Johnson moves into a neighborhood. Cedric the Entertainer then interacts with Dave Johnson.
With special guest Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, rocket scientist Dave Johnson. And then the other new show coming back to CBS that CBS ended up bringing back one of their former CBS stars to reboot. Very popular. Everybody loves the reboot around here. That they are rebooting the show, and they have the series coming back to CBS, Murphy Brown, starring Danielle Murphy. Are you going to watch Murphy Brown?
Oh, of course. Of course. It's going to be a ball of excitement and drama. I'd watch out if I was her co-stars at the Final Four, though.
Yes. Murphy
Any
Brown.
Romantic entanglements. That'll be great. The romantic situation on the show will just be her aggressively stalking someone who mm-hmm. does not reciprocate her feelings.
Yes. Also, it's going to be very polarizing, too, because I believe that Sam said on the live feeds she didn't like it when Murphy Brown was a single mom. She didn't like that. Having a child out of wedlock.
Yeah, it's going to be all about women's empowerment.
Yes,
the upcoming series
over on Murphy Brown. Okay, then this is not a TV show. This was actually sent in to us. This is a scene from a movie starring one of the cast of Big Brother 20. This is from the same guy who did the Mamma Mia, the Mamma Mia Here We Go Again trailer on Twitter. This is Ted It's V1 on Twitter wrote this. This is a trailer for a reboot of a beloved film starring Angie Rockstar.
Now you come to me to say, I'm Corleone and give me justice. You should not ask for respect. Instead, you come into my house
on my daughter's birthday.
You ask me for murder.
Yeah, make any request you want on Angie Rockstar's daughter's birthday.
Let me tell you something. This cast is having a
star power.
Yeah, this is, man, they've started more movies than Enzo did after BB12. It's a virtual cornucopia of superstars here. This is incredible.
Okay. Eric, let's take some more voicemails. I've got a voicemail for you, and this is from one of our listeners, Caleb. Not Caleb of Survivor and Big Brother fame. This is Caleb. Let's talk about why has this season been so good?
Hey, Robin, Eric. This is Caleb at Dibs on the Gibbs here, and I've got a question for you. 10 years ago, we were blessed with the amazing Big Brother 10, which followed the utter train wreck that was Big Brother 9. And Big Brother 10 obviously stands up as an amazing season, but I think it looks even better when you compare it to what we had just come from. So I'd predicted before Big Brother 20 even started that it was going to be a good season just because it was following Big Brother 19, which was completely awful in a boring summer. So from what we've seen so far, is Big Brother 20 as good as we think it is now? Or are we just thankful for above average food because last summer we ate from a literal dumpster for 3 months? All right. Hope to hear your thoughts.
What do you make of that, Eric?
I think this is actually a pretty interesting conversation because it is hard and we have a long way to go. There have been Survivor seasons where in the last year where the pre-jury was magnificent and it did slow down a little bit, you know, after the merge and so forth. So I do wonder where this is going to ultimately lie when all is said and done. To me, this does feel like it's certainly a top 50% season guaranteed in the Big Brother annals. Is it going to rise all the way up to the top? I'm not sure. And I think what I'm lacking from the season is, and I do think it's been great. It's so much better than the last two seasons. It's not even a comparison. But I'm missing who are the really rootable characters. Like, who are the people that the fans just love? And then secondarily, are we really yielding any, like, iconic all-time great players from this season as well? And it's possible, you know, Tyler is a candidate for some of these things. And I do think he's clearly going to be one of the people that we're going to remember from this season, and he's going to be one of the standouts. But I think that's the only thing that's missing for me, is that I'm still trying to place who are the breakouts of this season. And the as an ensemble and a collective, each week, each vote, each episode has been shockingly entertaining and enjoyable so far. But to have a truly iconic season, you need to carry truly iconic people forward with you. What makes BB6 iconic is that you introduced us to Kacer, Janelle, Howie, James all at once. Survivor Pearl Islands brings you Rupert and Fairplay and Sandra for the first time. So 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when we look back at Big Brother 20, will it hold up in that regard? I'm not ready to commit to that just yet, mm-hmm. but on a minute-to-minute, day-to-day basis, it's delivering in spades more than we ever could have possibly asked for, I think. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I'm not as worried about the rootable characters and the, you know, all-time great gamesmanship because, I frankly, I think we've seen, like in Big Brother 16, where these, you know, the great gamesmanship and you have a rootable character, like, you know, a lot of people really love Donnie, and it was, you know, sort of a chore to get through the summer of Big Brother 16. So I'm not sure necessarily having those things makes the season as fun as just being purely unpredictable the whole way through, and we've had that in spades so far this season. So as long as we keep up the unpredictability, I'll let the rest of it stuff. I'm not going to worry about that.
I agree. It's the most fun I've had with it in years. And I don't want to oversimplify it, but I'd say that the main difference between this and the last two seasons is that this one is actually good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one's actually enjoyable. It's actually fun. I do believe the App Store has been the perfect level of influence. It informs the producers about who the viewers are into, and it gives them the chance to potentially shake up the game. But we're seeing already it's no chance is guaranteed in when you're expecting the unexpected in the Big Brother house. So I think that it's a good level of twist. We've gotten rid of the battle of the block. We're not being bogged down or sludging through anything that seems patently unfair to anyone specifically. And there's just a great mix of, you know, house divide and shenanigans and erratic behavior and hinky votes left and right. There's a lot of fun characters. And this is not even a put on for the podcast. I think anyone who is a true fan of Big Brother must be enjoying this season.
Yeah, I agree. Eric, let's take another voicemail from the most prolific caller in the history of Summer of Stein.
Hey, Rob has a podcast. Hey. Hey, Eric Stein. Hey. Okay, so I've been noticing, like, on the live feeds and stuff that Fessel has some, like, nickname options. So my question is for Eric. Would you rather call Fessel Fessy, Finessy, or would you like to keep the relationship you have with Fessel's name as is? So, yeah, I just been wanting to get that cleared up. Oh, hold on. Before I get off the phone, that voice for the app or whatever, Caitlin's puzzle, is also the same voice from the game I played as a kid, Spy Fox and Dry Cereal, the guy from the boat, the little raccoon that ran the boat, the captain. So, yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a beautiful podcast and day.
What is that game, Spy Fox?
Yeah, well, it's nice to see here whoever that is still getting voiceover.
I believe her name is Victoria.
Oh, no, I meant the voiceover artist.
Oh, yes.
unless Victoria voiced the voice in Spy Fox. Certainly yes. Possible, yes. So Victoria.
Spy Fox in Dry Cheerios?
Yes, I've never played that before in my life.
Yes. Is that the same voice? How could that be?
It doesn't seem likely. It seems like there'd be a bit of an age gap, probably, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how old Victoria is, but it seems to me like this person would have retired possibly by now.
Is the raccoon that drives the boat on Spy Fox?
Yeah, the raccoon would have retired by now. he's appearing in a false sitcom on CBS, possibly. I do understand why it is that Victoria has been so concerned about Fessy's nickname. That does seem like something that has kept me up at night as well.
Yes. What do you prefer?
And I will say, I actually prefer Finessy.
Finessy.
Yeah, I think that's really nice as he's starting to finesse his way into the game. And with the ladies, I think that this is classic Finessy we're seeing born in the fifth week of the Big Brother house. So I'm gonna plant my flag with Finessy. And trust me, I will call him that when I see him next.
I'm actually playing Big Brother. Look at that.
Yeah. Eric, what did you make of the epic veto conundrum that Fessy found himself in on this past Wednesday's episode, where he had promised that he would use the veto on both Caitlin and Haley?
I am going to go out on a limb here and say I didn't think it was quite as stupid as people made it out to be.
Which part?
Because the winning of the veto. Because one could imagine if Haley is on the block that Finessi may have possibly been in consideration for the backdoor option. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he does not have the information that the viewers have. So I could see him wanting to safeguard against his own possible eviction, especially with a women's empowerment HOH at the helm. So I don't think it was all that insane. I think it's where he tried to hedge his bets, where he really lost the script a little bit. And I think that he should have just directly said to Caitlin, no, I'm using on Haley, and that's the end of it. And that would have probably solved most of his problems. I honestly think one of the biggest surprise twists of the season so far is that Fessy is making the jury. I really find that shocking.
M. Night Shyamalan here.
Yes, really, at the last second. Booth. Pulled it out from under us. And I do find it quite surprising. He has come out very strong, little dopey. Mm-hmm. He's made a couple of blunders along the way. And I'd be really surprised to see. Although that's part of the beauty of the season, right? You say every week, like, boy, this HOH really sunk their game. But like 2 days later, no one even remembers that anymore.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, oof, how is Fessy going to ever survive? Ooh, Brett has too big of a target. Oof, 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 as I've been told not to say. It's and yet you can't eliminate everyone every single week. So if you're just not like the bozo of the week, you get to stay. So you never know who is going to move to the head of the class on any given minute. You wouldn't have expected some of the people who are breaking down this week to do so. So I think that's part of the genius of this season is that you never know who is going to sink their game at any given time. Which
you
is
never know. And somebody who looked like that their game was going to be sunk last week has also ended up rebounding. That's Angie Rockstar, who was not even seen barely in the episode other than her being excited that she was still in the game last night. But we have a couple questions about Angie from this past week. This is a question from the great Matt Wojcik. The Woj writes in. He says that Clayton Halsey, the BB announcer, mentioned this week about how Rockstar went supernova on Brett.
And after Winston went back to Kentucky,
you are evicted from the Big Brother house.
Rockstar went supernova on Brett.
So we have a couple of questions about this. So the Woj says, could this be a sign that Mark Burnett could replace TKO with a revival of the talent show Rockstar with Angie Rockstar as the host in 2019? Burnett would earn forgiveness after choosing to produce Pirate Master instead of a third season of Rockstar in the summer of 2007. Eric, are the two seasons of Rockstar on your list of 900 TV seasons?
You don't get to 900 reality TV shows without dutifully watching Rockstar In Excess and Rockstar Supernova.
And which was first?
In Excess was first.
Yes.
That was won by the great homeless JD Fortune, who I think is homeless again.
He's back.
I have been known to karaoke Pretty Vegas, his original song that became a light hit for In Excess.
Been known to karaoke Pretty Vegas? Is that what you said?
Yes, with the pretty Brendan Vegas. I actually am known for that as well. It's very true. And yes, Rockstar Supernova winner. Well, I can't speak. I'm speaking jive like Rockstar in the Diary Room. But Lucas Rossi, the winner of Rockstar Supernova, is a great friend of Evil Dick Donato's.
Oh, okay. Yes. But Supernova was a made up band. Supernova's not a real band.
That is correct. It was a super group that was united. I don't believe they ever released more than the one single off of the show, Headspin, I believe it was called.
Okay, wow, Eric. This is really... So do you feel like that
Is this validating my 900 seasons right now? You see, it runs deep, Rob.
Yes. to cross-show synergy, will Angie Rockstar be able to get some time off from both Big Brother 20 and Happy Together to host the third season of Rockstar?
as well as Bay Hey Bay and Jay and Chop Bonk Spank as well.
Right.
Very, very busy this fall. But I'm going to go with no.
No,
I do believe that she is channeling some of the great rockers of the Big Brother house, such as the great Chrissy, the great Adam Pock, who have come before Gen City.
Yes.
And she is on a one-way crazy train straight to the final five, four or three at this point.
Yes.
Now, do you think that they could form some sort of supernova type supergroup?
I would manage them in a heartbeat.
Oh, okay. That's exciting.
I could you imagine the dozens of tickets that we could sell at Big Brother premiere parties and viewing parties nationwide?
Eric, we also got a question from Olivier, who says, am I the only one who noticed the reference the announcer made to an old forgotten CBS show Rockstar went supernova? What other obscure wordplays with house guest names and canceled shows could we see the rest of the season?
Oh, dear.
I don't know. Do they need to be reality shows?
This is a good question. I'm trying to think of some of the great canceled CBS reality shows. Perhaps was it The Family?
Where now, I believe that was ABC.
Oh, was it? Was it? Oh no! Oh no! I've tarnished my good name now.
Well, let's see. Let's see how many we could name of failed CBS reality TV experiments. I'll go first. Let's go back and forth. Okay.
This is. I feel like I'm stumped already. I'm feel like Caitlin when I was presented the puzzle.
Let's take Pirate Master off the board. We've mentioned Pirate Master. I will see Kid Nation.
Is there any possible way that we could get Taylor from Kid Nation to appear on next week's Summer of Stein? She is now in her 20s.
Yes.
I would love to have
Do you keep
Kid
in
Nation.
Touch with her?
Of course.
Yes. Okay.
We were on CBS the same 3-month window of time. We're good friends. Ugly chickens deserve to die, Rob.
Yes.
Okay. Failed CBS reality shows. Big Brother 15.
Yes, still mired in controversy, Big Brother 15.
All right, your turn.
Three.
Ooh, that was a good one. Nice.
And did Dr. Marcus from Survivor also appear on the dating show Three?
You came very prepared. And this is a blast from the past. All right, I will go with Survivor Fiji.
Okay, yeah, I think I might be out also.
You're the winner. You're the winner.
I'm sure there are some other good ones that are out there.
Yes, I'm surprised they didn't make a Big Bang Theory regarding either the Pots and Pans or Caitlin Summer with the men of the Big Brother house.
All right, so we'll watch out to see if there is more CBS synergy in the previously on Big Brother announcements. This is another question about Angie Rockstar. This comes to us from one of our listeners, John Tinkham, who says, can you believe that Rockstar wore a micro penis necklace? Is she taking the joke too far? Eric, can you make this out from this image of John
real
is alleging
cute.
That
real cute
yeah
real cute
John is alleging that this crystal necklace is supposed to represent Brett's micro penis.
All right, I'm gonna see if I can really it looks sort of like I would say this looks like the opposite of a micropenis. This looks like an elephant's trunk to me.
Yeah, there's a long crystal, a longer crystal in the middle, surrounded by two other trinkets on the left and right of the longest of the crystals.
I do know that they've been doing some arts and crafts in the house lately. So is it possible that she actually did make this with sort of like a very, very, very hidden immunity
message.
Idol in Brett's pants, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Very hidden, and she made a fake immunity idol.
Micro penis!
That's right, in the form of the micro penis. To confuse, it's possible. Could she argue later that this is one of the power apps that she got in the store?
Yes.
Yes!
Yes.
Okay. Eric, we're going to do
I'm gonna give an unpopular opinion.
Oh.
I think she's actually a pretty good character.
No, I don't think that that's unpopular at all.
Yeah, I think she is filling a really nice void. Is she the ultimate gamer? No, but she has come to play. She's game in the diary room. She has a distinct personality. I think she's fun. I actually think that I've seen some arguments that she is, sort of dead weight, but I would take her over in Angela every day of the week, honestly.
I mean, there is literally not one person that disagrees with you.
And that's another sitcom coming up this fall. It's called The Furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just Angela sitting there.
I didn't get to play this last night. This is a clip of Rockstar celebrating that she was still in the house.
I'm still in the Big Brother house. I'm so excited, y'all. I don't know if they really didn't like Caitlyn or they really love me, but whatever.
We've gone to like full EDM music in the background on the Rockstar Diaries.
And that
Rockstar
was also
Diaries.
Plainly not in her actual speaking voice. I do not know if they like
yes,
me.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Look at the house.
Is it possible that after like the first week or two, they were not picking up what she was laying down and they've just started, you know how like there was the Adderall controversies a few summers ago? Is it possible they're just giving her rave drugs in the house now? She goes to the diary room and they're just like, pop some Molly, Rockstar. It's time for your DR session.
I don't think so, Eric.
All right. Just
don't get this reported on these websites that take the things
right,
said on the
I
show.
Rockstar
turn those
in
into
the,
news articles.
In the draft, Baby Dino the dog says, yes, they are giving her drugs.
All right, Eric, we have a very important question to tackle right now. This is sent in to us from a emailer who wished to remain anonymous, and we will honor that request. Again,
is it Winston?
I can't say. And if requested, we will keep your identity a secret if you have.
I could understand why someone would not want to be affiliated with the Summer of Stein.
Blind item that you want to send to us. So a listener wrote to us and said, this is the most important thing to happen in the Big Brother community in the past week. Glenn brought a salad to the movies. And this is an image. This was sent to us along accompanying this
email. Was this sent by Joey Rodriguez? Just tell me.
So I want you guys to be able to see this on the YouTube video. Okay. Glenn brought a salad to the movies in what looks like a glass bowl. Please discuss this in great detail. Glenn brought a salad to the movies. Now, our crack research team here on the Summer of Stein has taken a good look at this photo and has officially determined that Glenn did not bring a glass bowl to the movies. This appears to be a plastic bowl when we zoom in, that there is a tab there. And Glenn brought some salad in a plastic bowl to the movie theater alongside an apple and a water. And he posted on Instagram to say, you know I am in the zone. I'm at the movies, and I realize that I am eating a salad, an apple and water. I can't believe it. Wow. I just shocked myself. It's becoming more and more a regular thing. Hashtag clean eating and hashtag a second thing that we will explore momentarily.
All right. I have several points I'd like to make about this. Number one is, first, kudos to Glenn for eating well, although one could argue during the 2-hour movie and maybe have a light snack when you got out. I'm thinking that perhaps is there a possibility that Glenn is having salad's remorse from the anecdote I told you a few weeks ago about when he soiled a Big Brother fan in ranch dressing at the premiere party?
This is part of the salad.
And that
Summer
he
of Salad 2018.
He had to maybe picked up the salad off the floor as a rescue mission to make up for this. Thirdly, I'd like to say that I will not mock this man for this choice. I have two similar stories from my own viewing days. I one time took a full Chinese food combo plate with a fountain soda into a movie.
Yeah.
Inside of a backpack.
Are you allowed to bring a salad to the movies?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But you don't think that Glenn ordered the salad at the movie theater, right? It looks like we've looked at the chairs. They appear to be like one of these like fancy movie theaters where you can order food. Is it possible that Glenn ordered the salad?
No, this is like when you go to the discount store right before you go in, and instead of getting the $4.50 snow caps, you get them for $1.
Salad contraband that Glenn's brought. Also, Apple, little noisy for a movie, no?
Yes, but again, not to be outdone, one time when I was a camp counselor, we brought a group of our campers to see a Broadway show here in New York, and I ran out of time for lunch. This was during the heyday of cargo shorts, and wouldn't you know it, I actually smuggled a 6-piece McNugget and a side of fries in my cargo shorts into the Broadway theater and consumed them while watching The Majesty of Broadway. So I am not going to shame Glenn for this. I'm going to say good on him for eating well and bringing something delicious and crispy, much like the crispy Tyler Crispin of Wave Days.
Yes, of Wave
the
Days.
Movie theater with him.
Okay. Eric, so the hashtag that has been blacked out in this photo reveals the film that Glenn had gone to see with the salad and apple. And now it is up to you to determine which Hollywood sequel got Glenn to the movie theater this weekend. Do you also like how the Instagram photo has been liked by Real Billy Garcia and 52 others?
I'm actually, and the between you and me, this is not a joke. I'm actually really concerned that I wasn't invited to the Glenn, Billy, Adam, Summer of Steve thing. This must have happened, right?
And this was liked by Billy Garcia.
I understand that, but do you not think that they have gone to the movies together yet?
Maybe.
And I did not get the memo, so I'm hurt. Okay, so
I will give you I have four choices. Which Hollywood sequel got Glenn to come to the movies recently with salad and apple in hand? Was it A, Equalizer 2, B, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again? Was it C, Hotel Transylvania 3, or D, Mission Impossible Fallout?
Well, I do see what appears to be a sensible blazer cut off at the top of the photo. So that does seem to probably rule out Hotel Transylvania.
This could be the previews.
It's possible. They could have, or it could be just like very real to life animation.
Is this bootlegging also that Glenn has has captured part of the screen
no
in this Instagram post?
In the theaters. Yeah, I would say based on the corporate synergy that we have going here at the Summer of Stein and the likelihood that he was at this film with the Summer of Steve, I will say this is clearly Mamma Mia 6. Here we go again.
I'm sorry, Eric. Glenn was not at Mamma Mia. He missed this. Yeah, I could see Glenn like going to see Mamma Mia and then tweeting about it and Instagramming it and saying like, "Hey, look, Big Brother contestants are even going to see Mamma Mia. Can we get a retweet?"
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Glenn was at Equalizer 2.
Whoa. That's wild.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
and the salad was the great equalizer on his diet. It's great.
Okay. All right.
I'm proud of you, Glenn.
Good for Glenn. Healthy. I like that he's like shocked about this. He says, you know, I'm in the zone if I am in the movies and I realize I'm eating a salad.
Right. He surprised himself with this. And as noted, wouldn't it have been, I guess, the surprise is that he is eating a salad.
Again, so you went and bought it and snuck it into a movie theater.
Right, but like that is still somewhat shocking because he could just be at the movies and not eating for an hour and a half. You know, it's like that's not, you know, like that is confusing.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd love to know from our listeners, has anybody else ever brought a salad to the movies?
Yeah, or what sort of snacks one should bring to Equalizer 2. Less surprising ones at that.
Okay. And then one other question for you today, Eric Stein. Here is a question from Kieran, one of the great listeners. He wants to know, Eric, what are your thoughts on Russell Hance being on the next season of Australian Survivor?
About as good as Bailey's HOH run.
I need loyalty.
Oh, my. Enough already.
I'm off healthy eating. I'm clean eating to get ready.
So I could list 700 CBS reality stars I would rather see on Australian Survivor than this. Mm-hmm. This is not for me. This is not for me. I have met Russell a few times, and whatever it is that people think they might think of Russell, it's even worse in person.
Yes.
You don't need to comment. You do not need to comment on this. I'm just telling you, the man should just go live under a bridge where he belongs as the troll.
I'm down under, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. Down under the bridge. That's exactly right.
Okay. Could we see Caitlin on Australian Big Brother? Should they revive it?
Maybe, or maybe on the revival of one of my other 900 reality shows, The Great Outback Jack, which was a dating show with an Australian man as a lead that was otherwise a ripoff of The Bachelor.
Yes.
It's all coming full circle. Russell will be appearing on that after his great run on Australian Survivor. Yeah,
what about Willie Hance on Australian Survivor?
I would rather see any hands. Brandon, Willie, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, the any of the supporting characters on what was it? The flipping
flipped hands. Off. Sean Hance, yeah.
Flipped off, yeah.
Was that one of the seasons? That would have been an easy season to knock out.
Oh, sadly I missed that one.
Yeah. Okay. Eric, what else from this week in Big Brother?
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but it seems as if Winston surprisingly has caught up on the Summer of Stein, because he is doing a full deep dive into of these really concerned. He had a tweet about how Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski have been nominated on the block next to each other, and he is really upset that Bayside is in danger. That's his own words.
So I'm confused. So he's watching the show and tweeting about it in real time?
No, he is watching. Yes,
he's watching the feeds. Oh, and he's
watching actual Big Brother, but he is deep down the Save by the Bell narrative now. And he seems to be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to actually believe that he is AC Slater now. And he is looking out. It seems as if he feels that Bailey is the college guy, Jeff, who has come to tear up the Brett and Rachel, a.k.a. Zach and Kelly partnership in the house. And he has been actively tweeting about his concerns for the Bayside Six now.
Yeah. Now, are those your words? Are you filling any gaps, or are you quoting Winston? Did he bring in college guy Jeff?
No, I made all of the interesting parts.
That was pretty witty for Winston.
Anything that was actually entertaining that came from me. Yes. He just seems to actually believe that he was on Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. I don't know. I think it's interesting. It's also making me wonder if he also was lying about his age, possibly.
Yes. Yes. Because he seems. How old is he saying he is?
I don't know. But whatever it is, I know when Saved by the Bell went off the air in 93. So he seems very well versed in that.
Yeah. But who would have thought that Winston would be the social media darling of the first four house guests out of the house?
I mean, and I'm going to just ask you, what percentage chance do you think there is that Winston and Caitlin will hook up between now and the finale?
I'd say it's a non-zero chance. I think they're only separated by geography.
To my understanding, a lot of times in the Big Brother world, you know, unlike the survivors who get to go on their pre-jury trip, everyone does go back home. But I do believe there is often a tight camaraderie of the people who go pre-jury, because they're the only people in the world who understand what each other is experiencing. So I do believe there is common ground for them to bond
right.
over.
Yes, you know, I've seen that happen before. The only thing that I would say, you know, they're separated by distance. And then also, I feel like that Caitlyn, in her time out of the house, has tried to make up for blindsiding Swaggy C. And I think that she has said that she would have evicted Winston and not Swaggy C. So I think that that might come across as a little bit of, not that she is above such things, but a little bit out of, you know, reversing course. And I think that she is a Swaggy C, team Swaggy C outside of the house and not team level six.
It's rare that I have actually felt compelled to follow someone's antics outside of the house, but I am genuinely excited to see what Caitlyn will be up to for the rest of her summer and beyond. And I'm not putting it past her to manifest some great opportunities for herself. I think that this is just the beginning we're seeing of young Caitlyn Herman.
Yeah.
Look, hallelujah for that.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. She has captured our imagination and we can't wait to see what she does next. And hopefully many, many things that we can talk about for years to come.
And it's not for me to determine, but if I were booking your shows, I would give her own show and let her do like a call in, sort of like what you did with the Love Know-It-Alls.
Yes.
But sort of she life coaches both the listeners and past house guests and past survivors as well. And she does like a call in show where she gives paid, expertise, life advice to people.
I mean, I've said that, you know, Caitlyn on the Love Know-It-Alls would be great. I mean, unfortunately, Stephen Fishback would not be able to pick her out of a lineup. That's the one gating concern there. But anything, she may be a little too much, with these Big Brother people calling in. I don't know if we could take field live phone calls from Big Brother Twitter. But it would be great to have her in any capacity.
Let's hope that her going rate does not go through the roof, with her Instagram, ads and so forth. You know, let's hope she remains affordable for the near future.
We hope so. We hope so. Okay. Eric, any final thoughts? Anything else you want to say?
No, I'm ready to bring this home and tease the next summer sign.
Okay. All right. Okay. It was a great episode here today. We will have much more again coming up next Monday. Of course, another great week of shows coming up. We're actually going to have Audrey Middleton is going to be on the podcast on Wednesday night. How about that?
Nice. That'll be a fun one.
LFC Roundtable coming up on Tuesday. Of course, you can also check out everything we're doing following all of the international Survivor excitement. Lots of ways to track that. We have it all figured out in our Patreon group if you're looking for information on all of that as well. And with that in mind, Eric, let's set up what's coming up in next week's episode of The Summer of Stein. Of course, follow Eric Stein on Twitter, unless you're going to tell him he says oof too much, at Eric Stein Tweets. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm so pissed. I should be the top billing name on the sitcom with Eric Stein. Who does he think he is?
Hang ten, guys. It's Crispy from Chop Bonk Spank, TKO, Big Brother 20, and the upcoming Wave Days. Hang 10 with us and tune in to the next episode of the pilot of my upcoming CBS sitcom, Righteous Dudes.
Who will be cast on the new upcoming CBS sitcom? Find out next time on The Summer of Stein.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loving, there's a pounding in my weedy shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer style.